we get to make wines that are going to be different every single year because of what Mother Nature throws at us.
You're really in touch with the seasons.
This is farming. Where this all starts is agriculture.
Wine is both a representation of its place and a representation of its time.
We can't control Mother Nature.
To make really fine wine, you need to do it in the old traditional way.
It was a lot funkier back then than it is now.
We're in a creative kind of business, and so this is what makes it fun.
I really love what I do. I'm happiest, I think, when I'm in the vineyard.
We say, so drink the wine. That's kind of our motto here at Life Between the Vines. One of the cool things about wine, besides drinking it, is the people you drink it with. And the stories you hear and tell with wine all come together to make every bottle unique. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
And welcome to podcast number 151. This week, we feature from Ramey Wine Cellars, David Ramey, his daughter Claire, and sidebar winemaker Lydia Cummins. Sonoma is a big place. In fact, few people realize just how huge it is, especially compared to the other valley. And in the heart of Sonoma is the town of Healdsburg. And that's where you'll find family-owned Ramey Wine Cellars. And a darn good-sized winery at that. We sat down with Ramey owner David Ramey, along with his daughter Claire, and sidebar winemaker Lydia Cummins, to get a picture of how David built this business to be a very well-known label. We're at Ramey Winery in Sonoma, right off the square in Healdsburg. I'm here with David Ramey, Claire Ramey, and with Lydia Cummins. How is everybody doing today?
We're doing well so far. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
I guess that all depends on how the interview goes, the so far part of it. So we're up here
Learn
in the conference
more
room,
by visiting
and we have an incredible amount of wine lined up here that we're going to be tasting, and we'll see some of this in some cutaway shots. But first things first, I want to talk about the winery and a little bit of stories. David, you're both Sonoma wines as well as Napa wines, correct?
Yeah, which is a little unusual, although in reverse, a lot of the Napa producers are coming over to Russian River and Sonoma Coast for their Chardonnays and their Pinot Noirs. I've always lived in Sonoma, and I started working in Sonoma. Most of my jobs have been in Sonoma, but for 6 years, I did work on the other side of the Mayacamas, first with Dominus Winery. I was in charge of getting that winery built, and then for Les Rudd at Rudd Estate, turning the Girard Winery into Rudd. So I have a working familiarity with Napa Valley Cabernet.
And what year did you open up, Ramey?
We started spending money in 1996. We started with 260 cases of Hyde Vineyard Chardonnay from Napa Valley, from Carneros.
It's kind of a great place to start, Hyde. It's not like you started from the bottom and worked your way up. You started right at the top, didn't you?
I knew Larry Hyde from when I was at Matanzas Creek. I had purchased his Semillon grapes to go into the Matanzas Creek Sauvignon Blanc.
And so your production today, this of course being 2015.
Oh, we've grown a little bit. We actually, of Ramey, we make 35,000 to 40,000 cases. So we've grown. We're in all 50 states and actually 28 foreign countries.
Wow, 28 foreign countries. That's interesting. Europe, I'm assuming?
The four largest markets would be Germany, UK, Canada, and Japan.
Okay, I'm a little curious why Germany would be such a big market. Not, you know, all due respect.
They love that Boulogne Montrachet.
Well, that's good. Well, I was going to kind of go down the line here, and we're going to come back to this. So, Claire, you've been working, you know, you're part of the family, and I'm assuming you've been part of the winery pretty much all your life?
Yes, but officially I started working full-time here at Harvest of 2013. We were short-staffed that year, and so I filled a gap.
Was that a choice, or was that a need?
It was. I couldn't find a job anywhere else.
Nice. So is it, you know, obviously you've grown up, you've been in, you know, around the wine business all your life. Was this something you maybe wanted to head toward, or you weren't sure?
I didn't know. My parents were kind enough to say I didn't have to decide right away. I got to get a degree in something non-related, whatever I wanted to. Happened to be religion. Dad's first degree was in American literature, so I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I was just taking it one step at a time.
Which isn't a bad way to go.
No.
Yeah. So I'm going to skip down to Lydia Cummins. Now I've got your name right. Thank you very much. And Lydia, you make the second label, which is?
Sidebar.
Which is kind of a cool name. I like that. How did you come about that? Or how did the name come about, I should say?
Well, it's a side project. It's an accompaniment to Raimi. In developing the concept, the name just stuck. Yeah.
Actually, if I can interject
yes,
here.
Yes, please.
You know, I get a lot of my ideas on the hikes that my wife and I take, and where there's a park in Windsor up through the oak trees, and takes about 50 minutes. And this was not the first name, but it's the better name, and it was an inspiration during one of those hikes, and that's just, you know, it just popped into my head, and fortunately, everybody liked it, and it was trademarkable.
When did you start making Sidebar?
2014.
Okay, so brand new. How is a name like that available? There's so many wines out there and so many names that are... I mean, I know people who've tried to come up with new names and you can't get it.
Exactly. There's, in fact, I think one of the Bexdorfer kids trademarked the name Taken because they went through so many options getting there.
Yeah. So, David, for your life in wine... you know, was there some kind of a path? Did you, you know, have a moment when you were younger where, you know, it just sort of came on, this is something I really like and I'm more interested than just above average?
Well, you know, as Claire said, I had the degree from UC Santa Cruz in American Lit, and then I was a waiter in a Sicilian restaurant for a year, and then I was traveling and living in Mexico, In the meantime, by the time I was a senior in college and during my year as a waiter, I had started liking wine. I'd been visiting wineries in Napa Valley and Sonoma and reading wine books and buying wine. And so I was on a long drive between Mexicali and Hermosillo. And I was in I had a 71 Toyota Hilux pickup truck with no radio. So it was just me and the saguaro. And I was thinking, well, what am I going to do when I'm done with this adventure? And it just, in French, you would call it coup de foudre, a lightning bolt, an inspiration. Well, why not make wine? Makes people happy. It's an aesthetic statement. It's not bad for the environment. That was the first wave of environmentalism. We have another one. We're enjoying another one now, thank goodness. And then I thought, well, but I can't do that. You have to go to UC Davis for that. And that's just for sons and daughters of industry, like Mike Martini. And then I'm talking to myself, I'm driving along through the saguaro-dotted desert, and I realized, well, that's not true. It's the University of California. My parents pay taxes to support it. Hell, I pay taxes to support it. And so I all but turned around. I kept going, but 2 weeks later, I turned around, and 2 weeks after that, I was enrolled at Chem 1A and Biology 1 and Pre-Calculus Algebra at San Jose State.
That is a lightning bolt.
Yeah.
I mean, just kind of up and decide to do it. Obviously, you've done some world travel before that, and you've developed a palate, I'm assuming, for it.
At that time, I had spent a summer in Spain and then a summer in Mexico, but I hadn't yet traveled to France, which I later did, or Australia. But, I used to go to Martini and Prati and buy gallon jugs of wine and then decant them into 750-mil bottles for future consumption, you know?
I only wish we had some stories to tell here. I'm assuming it was in Sicily.
No, it was in Los Altos.
Oh, of course.
And we used to wait on X-49ers like John Brody.
That had to be kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, this was just something after a while, you really loved wine.
Sort of like Claire, that was a job. I had no career path. I mean, thank God I had the inspiration to become a winemaker, because otherwise, I had no career path. I didn't know. I mean, we're big. My wife and I are big fans of liberal education. So I wanted to become literate. I wanted to become well read, and I did so. And you know, and we just think that the, you know, a liberal arts degree is a great springboard to whatever. And then 4.5 years from Chem 1A through the Master of Science in Enology, I came to believe what a privilege and a pleasure to have both a liberal arts education and to understand the way the physical world works through science, to understand what the photons are imparting from the sun, are imparting energy to the dew on the flowers, the morning dew, and then the steam coming up and the phase change. That's just basic science. It's not complicated, but it helps to appreciate the world that we live in.
I'm done. Let's pack it up. This is good stuff. Are you a native Californian?
Since I was 6, so I might as well be. Born in Seattle and lived up there. And then we moved down here in 1957. In 1958, we moved to Sunnyvale. I went through, I watched it turn into Silicon Valley. I went through 3rd grade through 12th grade with Steve Wozniak as a classmate. And that's one of the things that, you know, when we moved there, it was a subdivision plopped down in the middle of the orchards. There were cherries, there were prunes, there were apricots. If you went a little toward Santa Clara, you had the walnuts. And these were just commodity crops. And now that's all houses. And in Napa and Sonoma and elsewhere in coastal California, where we have the value-added proposition of wine that can support agriculture and make it stand on its own legs and be competitive, if it weren't for that, the Santa Rosa Plain here would look just like San Jose, Santa Clara Valley.
Just like anywhere else.
Yeah.
Was it definitely a focus to want to be in Sonoma? Obviously, you're still using Napa fruit, so you're doing both, but was this where you really specifically aimed toward?
I've always loved the Healdsburg area, actually. When we were at Davis, one of my good friends, Doug Nall, he's still here, Nall Winery, we used to come over, and I used to stay, and, you know, he left school a year before me, and started working at Balvern. I used to come over, stay at their house. And then my first job was at Lambert Bridge Winery in 1978. My friend Nick Martin was living in the house across from Dry Creek on Lambert Bridge Road, Dry Creek Vineyards. And so I used to spend the weekend there as I worked the half of the harvest at Lambert Bridge. So yeah, I've had a connection with Sonoma, and I have to say, even when I worked in Napa Valley, it was really never a consideration to live over there. We've always been very Sonoma County-centric, whether it was Healdsburg or Santa Rosa or Windsor or Glen Ellen, and now, full circle, back to Healdsburg, which is the greatest town in California wine country.
It's a beautiful town. It's a beautiful area, and I've always thought that Sonoma had more of an Italian feel. Just when you look at it, it has a kind of landscape to it.
An easy analogy is that Napa Valley is Bordeaux, and more than Burgundy, Sonoma County is Tuscany.
I would go along with that. That's a fair thing to say. I just want to talk about Doug Nall for a moment, just because he seems to be a great inspiration to a lot of winemakers here. His attitude towards alcohol, his attitude towards farming, he's just a phenomenal guy.
Mm-hmm. And sense of humor on the labels.
I got him saying bad baseball things on tape.
He was a semi-pro player.
That's right, he was. Yeah. Imagine him liking baseball. I think that works its way into every conversation somewhere along it, between him and McGunty.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, a couple of great guys. So anyway, let me skip down Claire for a couple of moments here. Did you grow up, running around the vineyards? Was that...
No, not really. Only peripherally, I would say. My first real house that I have a memory of was in a Windsor suburb, kind of on the edge of town, but no vineyards to run through. And then we moved to, after a short stint in Healdsburg, Glen Ellen for 10 years. And that's really where my brother and I grew up, and it was oak country, so we ran through the oaks and splashed in the Winter Creek, and there was a vineyard next door, but there was a fence in the way, so no vineyard fun.
But that was Tommy Smothers' vineyard, Tommy and Marcy Smothers. And so, yeah, it was right outside our house. So, but there was a fence, so they couldn't. They looked at it. They could see it. They couldn't run in it.
No, I guess you don't want to get shot or something like that. I didn't know Tommy Smothers was in the wine business.
Well, he and his brother, I think his brother Dickie started it, and then Tom was too for a while. And he owns the vineyard right there in top of kind of the top of the hill and in the middle between Kenwood and Glen Ellen.
Interesting sidebar. So I know this is sort of that classic question, but now that you've spent some time here, I mean, do you think this is the future you may want to end up in at this point?
It is. I'm committed, and even if I wanted to pull out at this point, I would not be able to.
Is that a threat?
Oh, no.
No, I'm sorry. That's not going to be. But was it that kind of thing, you know, I was talking like with your dad, were you bitten by the bug? Was it kind of, this is it? Wow, this is really something.
I think it was, but more through a sense of family pride and legacy, which maybe sounds a bit odd, but I watched my parents struggle in the early years to make Ramey Wine Cellars what it is today, and I would not want to see Ramey suffer just because we couldn't continue the quality and the legacy. So I'm lucky to have a brother, too. He's finishing up college, and he wants to join the family business. So I think between the two of us, we can not let our parents down.
I think it's interesting, too, though. You just said he's finishing college. So he's older than you, right?
Younger.
No, oh, he's younger than you. Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry. I have no idea of age, and I don't need to go there.
Claire graduated 2 years ago, and Alan graduates in... I don't know, 10 days.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed that. Sorry, I'm not...
I have a young face.
Wow, good for you. Interesting that you both have arrived at it yourselves. There wasn't any kind of pressure. It was just something that...
No pressure.
No pressure.
No, that's really nice.
Because that would not be the right choice. You have to choose what you want to do in life. And the one thing I would say that Claire didn't mention is that they've been... sipping wine with me, with Carla and me, since they were 6 years old. I mean, at one point I had a rule: you get one sip starting at about six, one sip for each year that you were old, and then by the time there were 14, you know, I mean, just like in France, I mean, you know, glass of wine with dinner, you know, and so she actually has quite a good palate.
So alcohol wasn't that typical teenage thing. Ooh, this is really cool. Let's do this. You were used to it.
Oh, no.
Much in the way of the French, or was it?
I was very much used to it, and my friends had to convince me to take a shot for my 22nd birthday. It was not a natural or desired thing. Can I interject something about your previous question?
You're more than welcome to.
Okay, I think. The reason, maybe one of the biggest reasons after the protecting the family legacy, is I feel like there's a great team here and I have support. So even after my parents have to step back from the business, I'll have people like Lydia to support and lean on. And I know that she's going to help us be very successful in the future.
I like seeing this. I'm glad we've got this on video. You did capture that, didn't you? No, I'm just kidding. Well, Lydia, let's step over and talk to you here, since we've covered some of the family aspects here. How long have you been making wine here, and how long have you been making wine in your career?
I've been with Ramey for 7 years. I started in 2008, in March of 2008. And prior to that, I worked several internships. I grew up in San Diego, and I was drawn to the Santa Barbara area due to the proximity of San Diego to Santa Barbara. But after working a few internships, and one of my internships was here in the Russian River Valley at William Selyem, and I completely fell in love with this area. So kind of had to regroup and form another plan because I knew I had to be here. And so the time came when I was looking for a permanent position, and I was looking in Napa, but really the Russian River Valley is where I wanted to be. And the job opening here at Ramey popped up, and I was so excited. and it was one of those experiences where I didn't want to get too excited because I didn't want to be disappointed if I didn't land the job. But luckily I did. And I've been here ever since.
I guess you've done okay 7 years.
Yeah.
Not ready to fire yet.
No. I don't think they'll be able to ever get rid of me.
No, it sounds like you're pretty well here for the duration, which is nice. I mean, I think the whole idea of working for a family business is so great. That's what wine's about, family, friends. That's such a big deal in California, but in the business in general, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Once you find a place where you fit, it would be hard to ever walk away.
Now, on top of this, you're expecting your second child fairly soon. Hopefully not like in the next
hour. Yes, hopefully not.
Hour. And that kind of is an interesting complication in the nicest possible way, because the winemaker is obviously a very demanding job. Luckily, you're not delivering in September.
Funny you should say that, because my first time around, I did deliver toward the end of September. Luckily, it was a very early vintage, so most of the Chardonnay had been picked by the time I went into labor. And I sampled, I worked 14 hours the day before I went into labor, so I was able to keep going until I was determined to get most of that Chardonnay in.
Yeah, she's definitely a keeper.
and it was a beautiful experience. And I mentioned that they would never be able to get rid of me, the Ramies, and that's part of the reason, for to go to your boss as a winemaker and say, I'm going to be out on maternity leave, and oh, by the way, it's going to be during the middle of harvest. That's a really hard conversation to have.
Can't even imagine.
And David and Carla, family, and as you can see, family is very important, and they were extremely supportive and made sure that I knew that it was going to be okay, and we would get through the harvest, and I would have a place when I returned from maternity leave.
It's pretty much a rule at Ramey Wine Cellars that almost every employee has to have two kids.
And, is that what it is?
And yeah. most of them have been born after joining us.
Well, I'm not going to go there. I just love watching your face glow when you're talking about it, because that's a real sense of pride. I mean, you were talking about pride before, Claire. But it's still a bit of a challenge. I mean, a mom with two children in the winemaking business, I don't know if you travel. I assume maybe you do a little bit of that. Is your husband in the business at all? I'm just curious.
He is not. And I do know a lot of couples that are both in the industry, but I feel a bit fortunate. My husband works in banking and computer software. So luckily he's available during the harvest season when I have to work lots of hours. And we have a good support network here in Sonoma County.
Nice. Well, I'm glad to hear that. So what about you? Your journey into wine, I mean, was it something that you just sort of got into, or just happened to live your life as a wine lover?
Well, in much of the same way that Claire grew up drinking wine, I did as well. My parents aren't in the wine industry, but in fact, they're in the medical industry.
But, of course.
But my father grew up as an expatriate. My grandfather worked for BASF, a big German chemical company, and was transferred to many different countries. So my dad grew up mostly in Europe, in Spain and Germany and Belgium. It's so drinking wine was part of every meal. And I always had a glass of wine, just a little tiny bit from the time I can remember. And then as I got older, a little more. And so it was just part of a meal. It wasn't something that I paid a lot of attention to, but it was part of good living, having a glass of wine and good food. And I was studying chemistry and not really sure where I was going to go with it. I loved science. I loved chemistry, but I didn't see myself working in a laboratory, and I didn't see myself going into pharmaceutical sales, and so I was a little disenchanted. I didn't know where my chemistry degree would take me. And I went to visit my aunt who was living in Madrid, and I just sort of had this kind of lightning bolt, as David described it, where I thought, wow, you know, I could focus on wine and sort of parlay my chemistry experience into making this delicious product that makes people happy and is part of a wonderful meal. So I came back and enrolled in botany and microbiology and all of these classes that I would need to transfer. I went and visited Fresno and UC Davis and decided that Davis was where I wanted to transfer. And I made it happen, transferred, and then got my degree and started doing internships.
And here you are.
And here I am.
And for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
As we sit, there's a tasting set up, and there's about 782 bottles sitting in front of us. You do make a lot of wine, and I've noticed from what I've seen on the website, Chardonnay is a great focus, and Cabernet as well, which is interesting, being that you're here in Sonoma. So, David, tell me a little bit about what you make.
Well, mostly we make Chardonnay and Cabernet. And the Cabernet comes from Napa Valley, and with one exception, all the Chardonnay comes from Sonoma. Now, why might that be? Well, you know, all of coastal California is cooled by the coastal fog, the marine influence. And wherever there's a gap in the coastal hills is where that fog can come in. And for Napa and Sonoma, that's the Estero Americano, or what's now being called the Petaluma Gap. Sort of from Bodega Bay in across to Petaluma, and then it goes across Carneros and out Jameson Canyon and American Canyon and toward Lodi. And so Napa Valley has the Mycomas Range further blocking it and is generally, well, since I made the commute for 6 years in the car with the thermometer in it, it's 9 degrees warmer in Oakville than it is in Glen Ellen. It just, you know, that's in the summertime, that's consistent. And so Cabernet is a late season variety. It needs the extra heat to ripen, whereas Chardonnay and Pinot Noir are early season varieties. And so they don't need or want as much heat. And so warm climate Chardonnay lacks the sort of vibrancy and acidity that cooler climate Chardonnay does. Conversely, warmer climate Cabernet develops the sort of base notes and richness that people like. And so that's why our Chardonnay comes from Sonoma and the Cabernet from Napa.
And in the end, you're getting the best of both worlds, really.
You know, I mean, there tend to be these artificial distinctions. Oh, you know, like because our winery's in Healdsburg, we should be making Sonoma County Cabernet. But our Napa Valley Cabernet vineyards are closer to us than Carneros Chardonnay is, you know? It takes me an hour and a quarter to get to Carneros. It takes me 30 to 45 minutes to get to our Napa Valley Cabernet vineyard. So I didn't pay any attention to the political distinctions.
I think it's important when it comes to wine. Like you say, it's all about the terroir. It's all about, you know, what you're going to get from the ground. Mm-hmm. Right. And what else do you make beyond that?
Well, I became enamored, for better or worse, with cool climate Syrah. And so we made our first Syrah in 2004, and now we make three Syrahs. We make a Sonoma Coast Village blend, Appalachian level blend, and then two single vineyards, Rogers Creek Vineyard and Coal Creek Vineyard. And they, you know, Syrah is a chameleon variety. When it's grown in a warm climate, you get jam in the bottle, and sometimes that's delicious and what you want. But I like the more savory aspects that are developed when it's grown in a cool climate. You get the bacon fat, smoked meat, pepper, corn, green olive, grapefruit, and it's just a tremendous wine for matching with, you know, long, slow roasted pork shoulder, leg of lamb with roast leg of lamb with garlicky white beans, duck sausage with green peppercorns in it. Foods like that.
Absolutely for lunch.
two more hours, right?
I'm headed there right now. You have a great way of descriptors. Now we have sidebar. Now is that exclusively what you're working with, Lydia, or are you working with both labels, or?
Yes, both labels. I am the associate winemaker for Ramey, and I do a lot of work in the vineyard and in the laboratory. And sidebar is the project that I've sort of taken on in addition to the other things that I do here as an associate winemaker at Ramey. Sidebar has been a lot of fun. It's allowed us to work with some varietals that we don't traditionally work with. There's sort of a line of delineation between Ramey and Sidebar, and so we've had the opportunity to work with Sauvignon Blanc and Kerner and Grenache and Mourvèdre and Zinfandel. We have a vineyard that has vines that are 120 years old. So it's been a lot of fun to sort of make fun, ready-to-drink, approachable wines for the sidebar label as well.
Well, as we sit here at the table, I see a white, which I'm going to assume, keyword assume, is a Sauvignon Blanc, but I also see, obviously, a rosé right in front of you. What do you make the rosé from?
This rosé is from Syrah. It's from an old Syrah vineyard in the heart of the Russian River Valley. And we harvested the grapes for rosé. Some wineries will do a saunier where they bleed the grapes and then add water and acid and sort of a more manipulated style. We made a decision to harvest the grapes when they're very low in Brix and to press them so that there's a little bit of skin contact, but not too much, so that we get this beautiful color, and make a rosé from pressed grapes rather than the saunier method.
You love making wine, don't you?
I do.
It's very cool to see your face. So, Claire, for you, we were talking when I was setting up a bit about your involvement. You said you really don't have a proper job title at this moment. So with all these hats you're wearing, I asked you if you're involved in blending, and you say not only are you, but occasionally they even listen to you.
Occasionally they'll listen to me. It's really wonderful to taste with Dad and Alice and Lydia and Cameron and listen to how they talk about the wine and see what they notice in the wine, and then I can see if I've gotten that on my own. Sometimes I like to challenge myself to write down my decision before I've seen theirs so that I know I'm not just leaning on their wiser palates.
Or experienced palates.
Yes.
But you strike me as a very analytical person. You sound like the kind of person who really thinks something through before they jump, so that's got to obviously come into play in a blending session. Am I right about that?
Yes, though I think that's where I actually need more work, is thinking about how the blend will change in the future instead of just how it tastes in the glass now. But experience will help me with that.
So it's all about experience. And well, good for you being involved.
For your listeners, Ray, key thing about both of our brands, about Ramey and Sidebar, is that these are authentic wines. These are wines that are made with native yeast, with native bacteria. We don't own a filter. None of the Ramey wines are filtered, and they're all dry. A fashion of sweetening, making sweet wines, even Cabernets that people don't think should be sweet, and they are actually. And these are absolutely honest wines in terms of the way that they're made. And you know, that may not mean much to some people, but for us, that's a key tenet of of the, our brand, our business, and the wines we make.
I think that stands to why Ramey could be found in so many places, because that becomes your reputation.
Well, you know, I'm an old timer. I mean, I first shoveled grapes in 1978, and there's a tendency amongst some of my colleagues who might start their own brand. Not every winemaker ends up, you know, building a business. It's a little like not every chef ends up being a successful restaurateur. Two different skill sets, really.
So I understand you're going to be opening up a tasting room in the future.
We bought land. We bought a 75-acre property in the middle of the Russian River. It's a mile. It's on West Side Road. It's a mile south of Rocchioli. Across the street from William Selyum, there's an old hop kiln and a baling barn that we're going to convert into a tasting room. They weren't historic when we bought the property, but they are now, officially. Then we're going to build a cut-and-fill winery with cut-and-fill caves. That's an exciting project, which the county and I are having frequent discussions on right now.
I can imagine those are interesting discussions. Ones I'm glad I'm not part of. So for our listeners who'd like to come to Sonoma and visit Ramey, how would they do that?
Well, the easiest way is to check our website, which is rameywine.com. We do have a lovely tasting room. It's not open to the public per se. It's open by appointment. So 6 days a week, every day but Sunday and holidays. We offer tastings at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Phone number is 707-433-0870.
Great. This has been a lot of fun talking with all three of you. In fact, I think you're our very first three-person interview. We've crammed you all together. I want to thank you for taking this Tuesday morning to spend with me, and cheers to you all, and I'm looking forward to tasting your wines.
Ray, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Web design by Jenny Holland. Our graphics and website specialist is Lawton Hall. Our web geek is Dan Gieschen. Photos by Jeanette Herniak. Copyright 2015.